Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for your word. Lord, I need your help tonight, Lord, to, Lord, be able to bring out, Lord God, what I feel that you have laid on my heart. God, I ask for your anointing. I ask for your help. I pray, Lord, that you'd cause us all to hear, Lord, what you'd send to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I was in Home Depot. I was at Home Depot the other day picking up something, and they had to bring the thing out to my vehicle. And so in the back of the vehicle, I had that thing that I had the last time we were here. Desperate times need desperate measures. So the young man said to me, he read it, and he said, "Is it about what's going on?" He was a African-American young man. And I said, "No." I said, "We use that in a Bible study." But desperate times still do need some desperate measures. So we're going to continue on here in 1 Kings chapter 19. We were talking the last time, I don't know, 3 weeks ago maybe, about Baal and Elijah, and about how wicked Baal was and how bad the times were in those days, and how desperately they needed God. They had turned their backs on God. They had gone their own way to serve Baal. And we got to the point of talking where the Lord told Elijah to go and to meet Ahab, and that he was going to send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went and he met Ahab. And they were going to have a showdown. God was going to move, but they needed to do some things to get to be prepared for the move of God and for the rain to fall. So let's go, we'll skip down to verse 30. "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." Now, before Elijah could do what God wanted him to do, there's some preparation work that needed to be done. He needed to repair the altar of the Lord. Remember, we talked about how wicked they were, and they weren't seeking after God, just like the day and age how we live in today. Not too many people are seeking after God. Not too many people are really crying out to God. I mean, we have a lot of churches. I don't know about, well, Wichita seems to have a lot of churches too, but I know in Boston, in the inner city, just about in every street corner, there's a church. But sad to say, a lot of people go to church but aren't being taught the ways of God. And a lot of churches aren't encouraging people to pray, to seek God. I was listening the other day to, I think it was Sunday morning, and sometimes I'll put on Facebook, and especially during this time I've done that, listen to different services. And there's one particular preacher in Boston that I really enjoy listening to. And I turned him on. Didn't really want to get him. I was looking for something, a service from the island I'm from, because I enjoy listening to that. It brings me back home. Brings me a lot of memories. But they popped up. And instead of preaching the word, I was so disappointed. I don't know if I'll ever listen to this man again. Instead of preaching the word and encouraging people to be seeking God at a time like this, what I got out of his message was, keep doing what you're doing, young men, black people, go on out there and do what you're doing. And I thought, how sad. Good opportunity. You're online. You're on Facebook. You have good opportunity to reach masses of people. But that's the way it is in this day and hour. Not too many people are preaching the truth of the Word of God. And the Lord spoke of that in the Bible. He said that they'd be going to and fro, seeking for the Word and not being able to find it. We don't really realize what we have here. That you can come into church every service and hear the unadulterated Word of God. You know, you don't miss something till you don't have it. And I thank God for that. I thank God for His Word. But more than that, the desperate measures that I really want to concentrate on tonight are the desperate measures of prayer and of us giving ourselves to the Lord. And so Elijah took time and he repaired the altar of the Lord. He repaired and brought back what should have been there all along. God's people shouldn't have had to be encouraged to seek after God or to call out to God. But there was no altar. There was no prayer. There was no call to prayer. When we talked about prayer, that long session I did on prayer, we talked about the Muslims and how they have their call to prayer daily. Remember that? And, you know, we shouldn't have to have someone calling us to prayer daily. We've got the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk more about hearing. I'm just leading up to something here. We'll talk more about hearing the voice of the Lord. But he repaired that altar of the Lord and he got the sacrifice ready. And let's read starting at verse 31. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bullock in places, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And so, go on down. We'll just skip over here. Verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things according to your word. Now he gave the prophets of Baal an opportunity to cry out to their God. And it says until midday, from morning till midday, they prayed and they prayed. Elijah even mocked him. Nothing happened. But this is God's opportunity. And folks, we're living in a day that it's God's opportunity to move, God's opportunity to work. And so Elijah begins crying out to God. Well, first of all, he takes the sacrifice and he puts it on the altar. Now, we're not in the Old Testament. Jesus came, the sacrifice has been made. We don't have to make sacrifices. But what does Romans 12, 1 and 2 tell us? Somebody, anybody, want to quote that to me for me?
I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Okay, Brother Jim, come on. Now think of Abraham. Why don't you lie on that for me? Yep. Are you too tall to lay across that? Oh. Okay. So the Lord says, it's not hurting your back, is it? Okay. The Lord has told us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Elijah put the sacrifice on the wood. So let's call this the altar of the Lord. And when Abraham, think back to Abraham. Remember Abraham was going to offer his son as a sacrifice. what did he do? He took his son to the mountain, got the altar made, and he had him bound him. We're not going to bind you. I was going to ask Brother John for some rope, but we'll forget that. Bound him, and there he was on the altar. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us where Isaac resisted at all. He just willingly let his dad do that. And so he's bound on the altar now. Think of you being bound here, Brother Jim, and you're offering yourself to the Lord. And as Abraham goes and he goes to kill him, and he hears the Lord saying, Abraham, or the angel of the Lord. And God showed him a lamb in the thicket. But that sacrifice was willing, didn't fight back at all. I mean, he, as a young man, I don't know how old he was. But remember, Abraham is an old man. And yet, you suppose that he could have fought his dad off, probably? And yet he's just like Brother Jim now. I mean, some of you are squirming. Candy's sitting there squirming. But he's just ready. Come on, I'm holding it tight. It's not going to go anyplace. He's ready now to just slay him. And that young man is laying there. Is that how you are with God? Are you willingly just laying there? And sometimes when you're laying there, it feels like God's cutting your heart open, doesn't it? Okay, Brother Jim, thank you. You know that song, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands, let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet, let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice, and let me sing always only for my King. Take my will, that's what the song says. I don't know if you've ever sung it. I've sung it many, 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 many times when I was a young person growing up. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Have we come to that place where we've totally surrendered our will to God? Lord, it's not what I want. It's not what I want to be. You know, sometimes we have it in our minds what we think God is going to make of us. But I was praying this week and telling the Lord, Lord, when you called the apostles, when he called Peter, James, and John, all he said was, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They had no idea what that meant. It wasn't what they wanted. It wasn't what they had trained for. Take my will, Lord. Lord, all I want is your will. Lord, all I want in the move of God is for you to use me in the way that you want to use me. Not what I think, Lord. Not what I'm desiring. But God, take me. Take my life. Take my all. Take me. Lord, I'm on your altar. I'm there totally surrendered unto you. Totally yielded unto you. Totally given over to you and to your will. He said, I'm going to make you. I wonder what God wants to make of you, Brother Jim. Wonder what God wants to make of you, Kelly. And are you willing? We get a lot of ideas, don't we? Every young person growing up has a desire of what they want to be. I was going to be a nurse. And I loved it. I was going to be a missionary nurse. Then I was going to be a hospice nurse. And you know, everybody said, oh, Esther, you'd do great at that. But is that what God wanted? I mean, I spent 3 years going to nursing school, and yet here I am. Lord, what do you want to make of me? It's not what you want to make of Brother John, or Sister Mary, or Sister Karen, but God, what do you want of me? I'm yielded to that, Lord. I'm surrendered to that, Lord. I think the last time we talked about that song, All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and serve him and in his presence daily live. Lord, I surrender all. So Elijah puts the sacrifice there and he begins to pray. And he prayed just a simple prayer. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art God. And then the scripture says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and licked up the water that was in the trench. I don't know why I have notes because I'm not following anything and I don't know where I am. But anyway, then the fire fell. But the fire fell when the sacrifice and everything was in order. God's fire will fall on you and I as individuals when we're totally yielded and surrendered and committed unto him. And when the fire fell, the fire licked up the water, the stones, everything was consumed. Everything was gone. And isn't that what God wants to do in your life and in mine? To consume those things that are of self? That will be selfless. That self won't be seen. The self won't reign in our hearts and lives anymore. And the fire is what's going to do that. It's the fire that will burn away the dross. And I'm always talking about songs, but I grew up learning a whole lot of songs. 'Tis fire we want, for fire we plead. Send the fire to burn up every trace of sin. Why, we're Christians. We don't have anything in our lives that are unlike Jesus, do we? Sure we do. We're not in heaven yet, so we're not like Jesus yet. We're still growing. There's still things that can be burnt out of us. But we need the fire. We need to sit still with the fire falling. Just like Isaac laid there and was going to allow his father to strike him with that knife. So we need to relax and sit still and let the fire of the Holy Ghost come and burn away the dross, burn away the sin, burn away the selfishness out of our lives. And when the people saw that, it says they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. It caused them to worship. And that's what revival does, doesn't it? It causes us to worship the living God. It causes us to get in the presence and get along with God and seek after God. Can't help but think about that scripture in Kings where Solomon was, they were in the temple and they were praying and seeking the Lord. And God's glory and God's presence filled the temple, it says, and the priests could not minister. We need those times. It's those times where God will work in your life individually. That we can be all together. We can have a house full of people. We'll all have different needs. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to fall, He'll come and meet that exact need that you have in your life. We don't always need the minister to minister. I mean, God set the minister in the church. Thank God for him. Okay? Thank God for the word. But Brother John can't do what the Holy Spirit can do in my life. It takes the Spirit of God to move and to work. But let's get down to verse 41. That's really what I want to talk about. Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." Now, a young man had been going out and looking for the clouds, and he finally came back and said, "I see a cloud the size of a man's hand." Would you say there was going to be an abundance of rain? If the meteorologist says there's going to be a storm, we look for the dark clouds, don't we? Sound of abundance of rain. And I forgot I was going to bring my computer. I had pulled up a video of the sound of abundance of rain. And I was going to play it through the microphone, but I forgot it. But the sound of abundance. What do you hear tonight? What are you hearing? Are you hearing anything? We have ears, don't we? Don't we all have ears? Are you hearing? People have ears, but they don't always hear. Do you ever tune people out? I have. Come on, let's be honest. You know, there's a saying that men can only do one thing at a time. You ever heard that saying? We used to always laugh because Sister Lady would say something to Brother Daly, and he wasn't ignoring her. He really was not ignoring her, but he'd be lost in space someplace. And she'd say, "Oh, he's just on another channel." Are you ever on another channel? When God is speaking, do we need to be on another channel? When God is speaking, we need to tune in. We need to have our ears open. We need to be listening to the Lord. Some people don't hear because they're like me. They're 69 years old and their hearing is going. I'll admit it. Judy's always telling me, "You're deaf. Do you have to listen to that so loud?" Or she'll have something on that. "So will you turn it up, please?" Age does that to you. But spiritually, we should never get deaf. We should always be able to hear God. I've got notes. I don't know where anything is, but I think it's Psalm chapter 40. And verse 6, the part that, of course, that I'm wanting you to hear is, "Mine ear has thou opened." That's a prayer we should be praying. God, open my ears. Open my ears to hear you, Lord. Has God been speaking to us? Are we really listening to the Lord? Has God spoken to us about a revival? Has God spoken to us about a harvest of souls? Are we listening? You know, if we really listen, then we'll be talking to God about it all the time. And if we're talking to God about it, you know what I've found? If you get in the Spirit in prayer and you're talking to God about it, you're going to start believing it. You're going to start knowing that, hey, God said it. It's going to happen. He's going to move in that way because he said it. He's not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man, the Scripture says, that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? But are we hearing that? Are we hearing that God wants to move? Are we hearing that God wants to bring revival? Are we really, really hearing it? Are we hearing it with our ears? Or, you know, there's a better way to hear. With our hearts. If we hear with our heart, we won't forget it. It's going to get down in here. It's going to get rooted. And we're going to start believing it. We're going to start acting on it. We're going to start being obedient. So we want not just to hear with our ear, and certainly not with your physical heart, but the spirit in you. You hear what the Lord is saying. Maybe it would do us good sometimes to go back. And I don't know whether Brother Charles has some of those. I know not long ago here, I don't know if you remember, it was a Sunday morning, Brother John had prophesied about a revival. I don't know if it's, do they ever put those things online? Not online, but, you know, yeah. Might do us good to go back and listen to some of those things and see what God is saying to us and act on it. And then maybe we'll begin to hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Hearing God saying, pray, 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 pray. Hearing God say, revival, 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 revival. Hearing the Lord say, harvest the souls, harvest the souls, harvest the souls. That's what he's saying. Are we listening? Our ears open? Elijah says, I'm hearing the abundance, the sound of the abundance of rain. No rain was falling yet, but by faith Elijah heard it. Folks, by faith, let's hear the ring of revival. Let's hear the sound of God saying, get with me and pray and cry out and seek me. Get a hold of the horns of the altar and cry out for the rain. We talked the last time about God wanting to send rain upon the land and how God wants to send revival across the land, across the globe. Let's hear the sound of Pentecost again. A second Pentecost. You ever thought of that? Think of what happened at Pentecost. Just think back to what you read in the Word. 3,000 souls are saved. 5,000 souls are saved. People are bringing the sick out so that the shadow of Peter might fall on them and they be healed. People like Peter, who had sworn that he didn't know Jesus, had denied Jesus, was now a powerhouse for God. That's what revival is. That's what God is saying he wants to bring. Just a few weeks ago, we were encouraged to ask for Pentecost again. Let's pray. Let's hear that. Let's let that ring in our ears. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I've been praying, and this past week I prayed, and I said, Lord, and praying again about that second Pentecost, and I said, Lord, you're even able to cause that as we go down the street, the people will be crying out and wanting to get saved. It's not impossible. And then someone was telling me that on Facebook, I guess it was, the corner where, whatever that man's name is, Floyd, yeah, that they had a revival where people were crying out to Jesus and getting saved. Is that revival or is that revival? Folks, is that what we want? Is that what we're hungering for? Is that what we're seeking for? Or are we just, God says he's going to send revival. It will come. Are we hearing that sound? Are we hearing that sound? of what God is wanting to do. That sound of revival. Remember the Lord told them, when you hear the rustling in the mulberry trees, then I want you to move. Hey, folks, God is stirring the waters. God is stirring. God is moving. God is working. Open your spiritual eyes and you'll see. Ask God to open your spiritual ears. You'll hear. Looked up the word abundance. An abundance is an extremely plentiful or oversufficient quantity or supply. Overflowing fullness. That's what God wants to send. Rain that's overflowing. Rain that's going to fall in abundance. Rain that's going to bring a flood. Isn't that what it brought in Noah's day? A flood? Don't we need a flood of the Holy Ghost? Where the waters of the Holy Ghost would fall, where it's just going to overtake us and overtake everyone around us. Rustling is a stirring, to move or stir, as to cause a rustling sound. The sounds of moving or stirring something. Is God stirring your soul? Well, let him. It's as simple as that. If he has begun to stir in you, just let him. Just yield to it. Just say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord. Everything I am, everything I'm not. I'm yours. Completely yours, Lord. Lord, I hear that sound of the abundance of rain. But the altar had to be repaired, and they had to pray. We need to pray. I know we're praying. I know we pray. But we need to pray. And we need to pray some more. And what I'm going to suggest here is something that was on my heart and I thought of because I knew I was going to do the Bible study before Sunday. So this didn't come from just because Brother John did this. But I was thinking, if God wants us to pray, then that's what we need to do. And sometimes it's hard, you know, we all have busy lives. It's hard to get people together to pray. So can I make a suggestion? My suggestion is this, that 2 days out of the week, those of you who are willing and would like to, and we can decide on a time if that's what you want to do, that we do like a conference call for no other reason than to pray. No other reason than if you were on the call and I called you, you told me you wanted to pray and I called you and we called the rest of the people, we're not going to talk about anything else but pray for revival. I have some friends in Massachusetts. Well, one of them has Alzheimer's now, so she probably can't do this. But every morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not going to suggest six, but every morning, I'm pretty sure it was six in the morning, they got on the phone and they prayed and prayed and prayed till they forgot an answer. I mean, we've got to put something into this. God is wanting to move. God is wanting to work. Are we willing? Any volunteers? Okay. Yesterday I said to Sister Judy, I said, do you know if, because I know that I can call Brother John and then call Brother Jim, you know, with my cell phone. I said, can we do a do you know how to do a conference call? I didn't tell her why I was asking. And she said, not really. So then I said, well, look it up. And we Googled it and I found out how to do it. So if you're willing, I'm willing. Yeah, you could be included, Mary. But let's take, just to begin with, we don't all have to drive to the church. We can just get on the telephone. And like I said, I don't want to talk about anything. I don't want to talk about how your day is going. Not that I don't care, but I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about whether I'm sick or you're sick. We're there to pray for revival, to pray to seek God's face, that he would pour out of his spirit. And what was started, and I believe God started something the other night when we were out there. I really, truly believe that. If we want to see this get greater and greater and the fire get greater and greater and God move, it's going to take some sacrifice on our parts. My part, your part. It's going to take some sacrifice. So we'll get it together. Is that all right? I figured it would be, but that's what I felt the Lord really impressing on my heart. That we would just take time to just pray and cry out to God and seek after God and just have all these voices right over the telephone, just nobody listening to anybody else, just really praying. Might be 10 minutes, might be 15 minutes, might be half an hour. Who knows what God will do? But let's surrender ourselves totally, completely to God and say, Lord, I'm yours. And let's ask God to open our ears again, hear with our heart and not with our ears, and hear, pray, hear revival, revival, revival. Amen? Hear harvest of souls, harvest of souls, harvest of souls. You ever get something on your mind and you can't get it out? Oh, may God get these things in our hearts and in our minds that we can't get rid of it. And that we'll become, like people say, so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. But we'll be good for Jesus. Amen?